So Carmen Q here with Chris Shaw. Chris, how are you doing today?
Doing fantastic. It's a beautiful day. It's probably the warmest I've ever felt it in San Francisco, so it's nice.
Yeah, everybody else is drinking pumpkin spice lattes, and we're like sweating over here.
Yep, yeah. It's a much different feel than I'm used to.
Yeah, so I'm going to ask you a little bit about your journey back from Richmond. Obviously, you got assigned there at the beginning of the season. I imagine that had to have been kind of a disappointment since you were in AAA the year before that. What was kind of the messaging that they gave you in terms of, you know, why you were there and what you had to work on?
Yeah, I mean, it was plate discipline. I swung out of the zone way too much last year for a guy with my type of power. So it was just basically, you know, the way I interpreted it is that they thought it would be, you know, not the safest environment, but just the best environment where I could go and just kind of focus on that one thing and not have to feel like, you know, I'm in AAA. It's like, oh, I got to get hot here so I can get to the big leagues. It literally was just an opportunity to slow down and just be like, you're in AA, work on this, get good at controlling the zone again. And then, you know, once you show that, then you'll start to move again like you were. So, yeah, it was a tough thing to hear, but baseball is not easy. So, you know, you're not going to have a smooth road to getting to where you want to be necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, it is a game of failure. Although I've looked at your numbers and it seems like you have improved your plate discipline tremendously from like the mid 30s to I think mid 20s in terms of strikeout rate,
yeah,
right?
I got for the year down to 22% on the year, which is, I think is my career best.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Can I ask you how you specifically work on something like plate discipline? Because it's not like the way that you swing or the way you release a ball. It seems like a very intangible thing. How do you work on that?
The biggest thing for me this year is that I really relaxed. And I don't know if it was a byproduct of getting that assignment to start the year where it's like I didn't feel like I was on the cusp, if that makes any sense, of getting to the big leagues. I was like, wow, all right, I'm pretty far down this depth chart at this point. Like, just relax, go have fun. You know, you don't need to get hot to get to the big leagues right now because it's probably not even an option if I do get scalding hot. So it put me in this, you know, mental spot where I just went up every day and I just felt clear, confident, and just relaxed. And that's something I hadn't really felt for a while. You know, the last time I could think about that was when it was just college, when it just came easy. So
I know, you know, baseball has really shifted into thinking more about things like plate discipline, launch angle, all sorts of things that maybe are not necessarily the traditional route. Is that something you've noticed within the organization, that the shift from kind of traditional to less traditional stats?
Yeah, without a doubt. It's, you know, especially my profile, we talk a lot about how, you know, for me to maximize my potential, I need to be swinging at pitches where I can put the barrel to the ball and really slug. And we have enough information. I've got, you know, however many plate appearances in baseball where we know where in the zone I crush. So if I'm a guy who's going up there, I don't have to swing the bat until I get two strikes on me necessarily, you know? So why would I, if I'm facing a sinker ball guy, why would I chase a low and away sinker that I'm going to hit a ground ball on? You know, it might be a strike, but it's okay to go 0-1. And Schwartzy, one of our analytics guys, sent me this article. It was actually Joey Gallo was talking about it.
Oh, okay.
And the quote, it was awesome. I loved it. It was like, you know, I'd rather be 0-1 in a count than 0-for-1.
Yeah.
So makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely. And I know that you were playing so much in Sacramento, and now you're kind of getting here and there at bats.
Yeah.
Is that difficult? And does that change what you've learned along the way? Has that changed how you approach to staying in the big leagues, maintaining kind of a good swing path and everything?
Yeah, it's definitely a role that I'm getting used to right now. But, you know, I really like a challenge, and it's, you know, this whole year has kind of been a challenge. So I'm embracing it head on, and, you know, just having the opportunity to be around these guys and be with Boach in his last month is just invaluable. It's such a cool feeling to be in that clubhouse. And yeah, it's just really special to be back up here. Yeah.
In your short time with, you know, Boach, working with Boach, how is he different than other managers that you've worked with? And is there anything special about him that you can kind of pinpoint?
He's been there, you know. You just, everything he says, you don't have to think twice about it because you know it's coming from a good spot and it's coming from a very knowledgeable spot. I mean, you're in the game as long as he's been and you've had as much success as he's had. It's just an invaluable resource to have that type of guy just down the hall from you. And he's really really good with the younger guys, and, you know, this is my third year knowing Boach. He's just a guy that you really admire.
And, you know, he knows what it's like to win championships, and you were kind of on your way. So, you know, obviously the River Cats are on their way to maybe winning a championship first in like 20 years or something like that. You hit three home runs to kind of clinch that division title for them. How did that feel?
That might have been the most fun I've ever had playing baseball. It's indescribable. A lot of players talk about kind of going unconscious when you go into a game like that, and it's totally true. I hit the first one, and then I came in the dugout, and Tiny was like, you know, anyone can hit one shot. And then I hit a second one. He's like, kind of give me the look. He's like, you ever hit three? And I was like, I'm not going to hit three. And then I went up, and I hit the third, and I was like, holy crap. Like, what is going on right now? But it was cool.
It was your walk-up song, right? Dancing Queen?
Dancing Queen is what got me back to the big leagues.
What's the significance of that song?
Well, so we had our fantasy draft in Sacramento that I'm not in the league, but I went to it. And I got back to my apartment that night, and I just had an okay game the night before. I was like 1-for-4, but like it was a weak single. And I was just sitting there. I'm like, I don't have that feel. Like, what's that feel I'm looking for? And I was just like, it's probably like 1 a.m. I put my headphones on, and I just started like swinging a belt in my kitchen, like just trying to get a feel back for it. And I was like looking at myself in my window because I had a reflection. And like I found this like footing, and I was like, holy crap. And this is the night before the three home run game. And like as I found it, Dancing Queen came on my shuffle somehow. And I was like swinging and listening to it. I was like, this is money. Like, this is absolutely electric. So that's kind of where that was born.
I mean, ABBA is a pretty great kind of thing to rock, weddings and baseball, I guess.
Absolutely. And I grew up with it a little bit. My parents liked ABBA a lot, so I heard it a lot in the car growing up.
And you're going to go home soon. You're from Lexington, Massachusetts, is that right?
Yeah.
And then you went to Boston College?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
How's it going to feel to play in Fenway? I've never been to Fenway. I really want to see the Green Monster, but how's it going to be there? Is your family going to be there?
Yeah. It's going to be borderline overwhelming with the amount of people I'm going to have there, but it's something that I've wanted since I was really little. Growing up, you know, you picture yourself playing the big leagues. That's where I pictured myself playing at Fenway Park. So it's going to kind of be a little surreal. I'm very happiest with the Giants, and it's going to be surreal that, you know, I'm able to take that field.
Did I hear that you were going to have a Chris Shaw day when you're back?
Yep. So, Lexington, Mass. I got a call from one of our selectmen the other day, and she told me they had a proclamation drawn up that's calling for Chris Shaw day on September 18th. So we'll be doing that.
That's pretty cool. Would you get like a ceremony and a key or something?
I don't know what it entails. They want to present me with the paper. I said, maybe do it before BP. I don't want to make a big deal of it. That's not who I am. I don't really like that attention type stuff, but it's a great honor nonetheless.
And you're a big Boston fan of all sports. Is it going to be kind of difficult for you to play against maybe the team you grew up rooting for?
Oh, no. I want to beat the brakes off them. Are you kidding? And, I mean, you know, anytime you're with any team, doesn't matter who you're playing, you want to win that game.
Just a team that you probably never turn on is the Patriots, right?
Unless I find myself playing in the NFL for another team, which I don't really see in my future. But, I'm a very big Patriots fan.
And I know you don't play fantasy football, but if you were to draft first, would you pick Tom Brady?
It wouldn't be a smart draft decision, but yeah, why not?
Any early predictions on how your team is going to do this season?
We'll be in Miami. Okay. We'll be in Miami for the Super Bowl.
All right. Thank you so much for your time, Chris.
Yeah, you got it, Carmen.
Have a good season. Thanks. More coming up on KNBR, the sports leader.